Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
A couple of announcements to make. First of all, I miss y'all. It's really, really... It just doesn't feel the same. We need fellowship. So we want to be creative, and what we're going to do next Sunday, hear me on this, and you'll see we're going to put up a poster and everything. Next Sunday, we are going to do drive-in church. Can we put the image up? Next Sunday, we're going to do drive-in church. You said, what is that? Well, we're going to go down to Rotary Park. We're going to set up a stage and a sound system. You pull up in your car so you will be safe, and we'll have worship, we'll have teaching. You'll be able to park next to you, people from church. We're going to get as many cars as we can out there at Rotary Park. We've already talked to the park. They thought it was a great idea. And so we're going to meet there. And now, unless the weather prohibits us from doing it, we're going to meet there at 10 o'clock. We're going to have church. Hey, listen, you're going to sing in your car. Everyone loves to sing in their car, right? So you're going to sing in your car. You can roll down your windows, lift up your hands. You can say hi to your brothers and sisters, get you out of the house. And now, if it's incredibly windy or raining, then no. But if it's like it's been beautiful outside, how awesome. We can still have church in the park, and we're going to call it drive-in church. So be watching Facebook. We'll have all the information for you. And by the way, I know we had men's breakfast coming up and men's retreat. Of course, all those things are going to be canceled. Epic Easter is Resurrection Day. We'll still have service. It'll probably still be at the park, but we'll be in our cars. So I'm pretty excited about that because I miss y'all, and it'd be wonderful to see you again. So with that, if you would please open your Bibles to Acts 19, verse 11 through 20. I've entitled our message, War of the Worlds, and you'll see why here momentarily. We're going to break our verses into three sections: unusual miracles, verse 11 through 12, ungodly mauling, in verse 13 through 16, and unifying message in verse 17 through 20. Now, we are in a really interesting section of Scripture. We're going to see healing hankies. We're going to see devastating demons. We're going to see book burnings. And we're going to see God glorified all in this little section. Now, parental guidance is suggested as we get to the demonic part. I just, you know, if you got little kiddos, I'll tell you, I'll give you a warning. Maybe send them out for a cookie or something. But just keep that in mind. But as a backdrop, if you would, you know, mark your Bibles here in Acts. If you will turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read some verses to you, mainly verse 12. But let's back up and read 10 and 11, and we'll read all the way to 13 of Ephesians 6, 12. So start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle with against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, the focus here was, for we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. These are all different rankings of the demonic realm, of evil spirits. And he says, the very interesting part in verse 12 is at the very end. Again, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, I want to clarify, not in heaven, but in heavenly places. What that means is church. where it's supposed to be heavenly, oftentimes it's the rulers of darkness. It is spiritual hosts of wickedness that will try and infiltrate even in the church, even in your heart. Listen, our hearts have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer, if you're not a believer, I'm going to pray by the end of this message that you would surrender your heart. But if you're a believer, your heart is the place for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. But yet, what do we find? Oftentimes, spiritual hosts of wickedness want to infiltrate the holiness of your heart to get you to stray. And so, brothers and sisters, here's my point. We are in a war of worlds. The physical realm against the spiritual realm. And we see this all around. And so keep that in mind as you live your life, that every decision, every choice needs to be taken through the filter of God's word. Why? Because we are in a spiritual war. And the enemy would love nothing more than to get our eyes off of the Lord. So let's look at the unusual miracles in verse 11 through 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. Now, there's a lot to unpack. We're going to unpack some of it. The rest of it I'm going to leave for you to unpack, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot here. But first of all, I want you to notice this. Now God worked. Who worked? God worked. Not Paul, not the disciples, not apostles, not prophets. God worked. Understand this, brothers and sisters. When there is a healing, when someone has a demon removed from their life, I'm one. When someone has that happen in their life, it's not a work of any man. It's not a work of, I have the ability to heal. No, you don't. God does. So we have to be careful when men start to take credit for having this or that ability. Listen, anything that happens is by God. Listen, Paul's not even involved. It's just something he wore, something he had on. Now, why did God do this? I don't know, because God wanted to. As a backdrop, remember where we are. We're in Ephesus. Ephesus, my gosh, it was so demonic. They had the Temple of Diana there. They had all kinds of mysticism and mystics and false prophets and witch doctors and you name it, they had it. So here, God just wanted to do something unique, and he did. But understand, look at the word. It says, God worked. Who worked? God. Unusual miracles. Unusual means not usual. This is not something that we should go, you know what, here at HBC, I'm going to start giving out neckerchiefs. I'm going to give out my, here, take my hoodie and get healed. Listen, this was something unusual. By the way, if raising the dead and healing the sick and giving sight to the blind, and if that wasn't unusual, that alone is unusual. But God's saying, more unusual is I'm going to use inanimate objects to bring healing. And guess what? This is incredibly unusual. So that even a handkerchief or apron were brought from his body to heal the sick. Now, these weren't special cloths. These weren't anything unique. These were tools of his trade. This would be a leather apron that a tent maker would wear, or a sweatband, something to keep the sweat while you're working in the desert heat. You get the sweat, keep the sweat out of your eyes. Basically, Paul is a first century Elvis. It's like, hey, giving out neckerchiefs. It's a sweatband. Now, of course, I joke, Elvis was nothing like Paul. Paul was far greater in the work and the way he surrendered to God. But the point is, it's really weird. This is unusual. But it bothers me when I see televangelists say, hey, send us $50 and we'll send you this prayer cloth that I prayed over. And they get it from this, that God says this was an unusual work that he did. Not something that we can just start incorporating in order to make money. Brothers and sisters, if you're out there and you see someone say that to you on television and you have this inclination to do that, don't. Keep your money. Give it to a good cause. Give it to a missionary. Give it to someone who's doing the work. And you just get on your knees and pray and watch God heal you because your faith, not because of some guy's sweaty cloth. This was an unusual working. So don't be suckered in. Don't buy in to that lie. Send me money and I'll send you a piece of cloth. Stop it. Verse 12. So that even a neckerchief and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Now, a couple of things that's not mentioned here. I don't know. Did Paul know they were doing this? Did they go into his workshop and go, hey, grab that. Let's take it. And he goes, hey, where's my apron? Where's my sweaty cloth? We don't know. We're not told. But they brought it to the people. And for whatever reason, I believe the reason was the faith that was behind it. People believing that Paul, knowing that Paul was sent by God to do a work. From their heart, they just believe, well, if Paul is a man of God and God is working through him, then he doesn't even need to be here. I think that's what God did more than anything. Them knowing that, you know what? It doesn't take Paul. It can take anything. But of course, they're using something from Paul. This is just weird. I just want you to know that even the Bible is telling us this is unusual. This is weird, is what the Holy Spirit's saying. So don't buy in that. So, there is a war in this world where people want to take little ideas from the scripture and make them this big thing. And God's going, no, you missed the point. I never intended it to be anything more than something unusual that I did. And so keep that in mind. Now let's look at the ungodly mauling. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time here. And still, I don't think we're going to unpack everything that's here to unpack. But let's look at it. Verse 13 through 16, the ungodly mauling. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Now, very interesting. So there are these itinerant Jewish exorcists, and they decide to take it upon themselves to go and confront some demon-possessed people. They said, well, you know what? They used a cloth. They used a sweaty cloth and a leather apron. We'll just proclaim the name of Jesus over these people. Listen, I think they just made a bad life choice. You're going to see really bad. Have you ever made a bad life choice? I think there's a few that we can agree upon. Like, I think a mullet is a bad life choice, right? Or how about grown men in skinny jeans? Very bad life choice. I don't get that. I understand when you have a teenager and he wants to do it. They're teenagers. They're not very smart. I'm sorry, teenagers. Sorry. But it's true. But when you see a grown man, oh, pastors, don't wear skinny jeans. You don't look cool. You don't. I'm sorry. You don't. That's a bad life choice. But here, these itinerant Jewish exorcists. Now, you go, what's an itinerant Jewish exorcist? It's this. The itinerant just means a wanderer. These were wandering Jewish men who fancied themselves to be powerful magicians, powerful sorcerers. Now, here's the thing about this. Do you realize that idol worship or mystical practices are all an attempt to manipulate the spiritual realm, to manipulate it to the way we want? When people go to a medium and they want to have their palm read or whatever, they're really hoping to hear something positive. Listen, or when people have idols, what they're really trying to do in this time, when they had all these, they're trying to find an idol that will judge in their favor. They're trying to manipulate the spiritual realm. Here, I'll appease this idol, and that way I get what I want. Instead of submitting to God's will, they want God to submit to their will. And some of you out there would say, gosh, how could anyone do that? Pastor Randy, I would never do either of those. And then I would say to that person, so what church do you attend? Well, I don't go to church. I kind of do it my way. That's manipulating God. God has made it clear in his word that you need to be a part of a body. You need to be active. You know, that's the other thing. Well, hey, Pastor Randy, I go to HBC. Oh, you do? Awesome. What ministry do you serve in? Well, I don't serve anywhere. Listen, once again, that is manipulation. God, I can show you replete. We don't have time to do that. Where over and over in God's word, it says to be serving the brethren, to refresh the hearts of the saints, to be washing the feet. And of course, Ephesians, where we're all doing our part. You see, when we start to manipulate the way church is supposed to be involved in our life or the way scripture is supposed to be read, then all of a sudden we're trying to get God to bend to our will and mold to our will instead of allowing him to mold us into his will. And so there is a war of the worlds. My world wants to war against God's ways, and that's not good. My world needs to surrender to God's ways. Let him have the victory in my life that he's going to have one way or another. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that he is Lord. Prayerfully, we can do it now before him. Now, here we have these interesting, in addition to these itinerant Jewish, we also have the seven sons of Sceva. They are also doing the same thing. They are Jewish men running around, wandering around, telling people they have powers. Now, Sceva, that name, you know what it means? Mind reader. What a weird name. Who would name their baby mind reader? Honey, yes, I think our baby's scanning me. We should call him mind reader. No, I have a feeling this is a stage name. I really do. I really doubt that anyone would name their baby mind reader. Would you? If you would, please, let's talk. But I think maybe it's a stage name. You know, they're running around, they're mystics, and that's what sometimes people do. You know, they give themselves phony names to make them sound more powerful. So there's the sons of a mind reader. Ooh, spooky. Okay, I get it. Yeah. But they took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You see a big problem right there? The big problem is they took it upon themselves. Not that God called them to go do this. Not that they were fashioned and anointed by God to go and do a ministry. No, 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 no. They took it upon themselves. Now, remember, God was working unusual miracles through Paul. They saw this. Obviously, they saw and heard about this, and they just want some of that goodness. They want to buy into that without surrendering their this. Not good. They saw Paul's neckerchief heal in the name of Jesus. They even probably saw and heard about Paul casting out demons and healing many in the name of Jesus. So what do? They copied what they saw without having a changed heart. Not good. That's what some people do, even in the church today. They'll copy what they see. Sally, she's a godly woman, or Billy Bob, he's a godly guy. They read, they carry their Bible, okay, and they go to church on Sunday. That's what I'll do. It's empty. It's empty without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're just going through the motions. Not good. Not good. See, that's what they were doing. They're going, listen, they're using the name of Jesus, the right Jesus. It's not some other Jesus. It's the Jesus that Paul preached. They even said that. The Jesus that Paul preached, that's the Jesus. In case the demon wasn't sure what Jesus, because it was a common name. I want you to know it's the one he preaches, the one who was resurrected. But the problem is they haven't surrendered. Why are they going to, how can they get a demon to surrender when they themselves haven't surrendered? Brothers and sisters, here's the point. If you go to church, carry a Bible, it doesn't mean you're saved. It doesn't mean you know the Savior. You may just be copying. And I run into people, I was like, hey, you know, are you born again? Yeah, how do you know you'll go to heaven? Well, my mama and daddy went to church, and my grandma went to church, and my, you know, pappy went to church. So what? What about you? Well, I go to church. That's not what I'm asking. I never asked you if you were baptized. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you pray for your meals. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Do you know his resurrection? Are you in love with what he's done for you? That's what these guys are. Listen, all their actions are right on. If I'm going to cast out a demon, whose name do I need to use? Jesus. What are they doing? Calling on the name of Jesus. But as we're going to see, they're going to fail. They're doing ministry, but they aren't ministering. There are people out there that are trying to do ministry without ministering. And you go, well, no, no, Pastor, I'm ministering. No, no, what's the difference? Here's the difference. God's calling versus man's ideas. See, man's ideas can copy. You know, as a church, there are times that in the mail, I'll get these little pamphlets, you know, to hire some guy to come in to show us how we can grow our church tenfold. Sevenfold. You know what I do? You know what I do with that? I throw in the trash. Why? Because I don't want a man to show me how to do it. I want God to lead us in how the church is supposed to be and how it's supposed. And I want that to line up with God's word. Why? Because he's my God. This is his church. You're his people. That's the difference. But then men will come up and, you know what, I got an idea. We're going to go do this thing and that thing. And God's like, I'm not involved in that. And it usually comes to failure. It usually fizzles out. It'll go for a while, and then it'll fizzle out. Now, these men, these itinerant exorcists, who are now, for the first time, going to use the name of Jesus, come to a man with a demon, and it isn't pretty. If you have children in the room, you might want to ask them to go get a cookie right about now. So let's look at verse 15. If you've been here before, you know what this means. And the evil spirit answered and said, so they come up to the man, they said, in the name of Jesus, the one who Paul preaches, get out of this man. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Oh. They didn't expect to get asked questions. Now, listen, I do that, but it may not have sounded, we don't know what demons sound like. I'm just assuming that it was scary and ominous. It might have been like, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? We don't know. Could have been a well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Golly, I don't know you. We don't know. But I'm going to assume that it was ominous and scary by what's going to happen after this. But here's the thing. Notice this one very important question. Who are you? This demon is asking to these men, who are you? Though this demon is asking that question, you know what would be scary? If the Lord Jesus asked you that question. Do me a favor. Turn, if you will, to, you've heard this many times, but right now, just turn with me to Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. In case you are a person who is just going through the motions, here's what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, listen, look at this, prophesied in your name. See, they're using Jesus' name like Sceva's boys, mind readers. Interesting, they were mind readers, but not scripture readers. They were mind readers, but not God communicators. They didn't pray to God. Anyways, okay, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. And Jesus says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. In other words, who are you? Just like the demons saying to the sons of Sceva, who are you guys? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you who do things the way you want, who live the way you want. Don't live by my Father's will. You have your own will, and you want my Father to agree with you. You do what you want, but you don't surrender to what he wants. And what does he want? He wants you to love his son, Jesus, who he sent to die in our place for our sins, to pay the price that we could never pay. That's all he wants. It's not like a bunch of hoops for you to jump through. No, just fall in love with him. Because if you fall in love with Jesus, you'll want to do the things that please Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. There are no humps. There are no requirements. There are no, you know, do this or don't do that. It's just simply fall in love with Jesus. So, yeah, if a demon were to say, who are you? Oh, okay, you know, that could be bad. It could be, it's okay. Maybe the demon doesn't know you. But honestly, if you're a Christian, I think the demons would know that. I think a demon would come up and say, you know, I don't know who you are, but I can tell you're a son of the living God. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit in you. And there's no denying that. But here's the thing. If a demon has to come up and say, who are you? Then there's a good chance that Jesus is saying, I don't know you either. That means you're unknown to either world. You're not involved in the war of the worlds because you're not a part of either one. But you end up in one in the long run. And that is scary. Brothers and sisters, friends, I don't know if you've truly surrendered. Only you know. Well, Pastor Randy, how will I know that? Oh, it's undeniable. In fact, you don't even have to go up to people and say, I'm a Christian. They'll right away say, you're different. Right away, they'll know. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say use a bad word around you? Listen, if people are comfortable swearing around you, there's a problem with you and your heart and who you are recognized as. But when you fall in love with Jesus, it's undeniable. There's a changed person inside those eyes. There's a changed person behind that tongue. There's a changed person with those hands and what you do. There's a changed person moving those feet and where you go. And so here we have this question where the demon says, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, prayerfully, I think that the demons would say, and Randy, I know, I pray. That's my goal. I want to be an offense to the enemy. I don't want to be an ally. Listen, on both sides of the fire, whether it's ungodly fire or Holy Spirit fire, I want to be known by Jesus and by Satan that I belong to the living God who saved me. And now I live my life to bless him, even if it means going against what my little world wants, my ambition wants. I put him first. Brothers, sisters, friends, if you don't realize there is a war for your soul right now, you're missing it. Even now, as we are, you're not even here, not from any fault of yours, but this could be the enemy's tool to keep you isolated, get you comfortable in your PJs, watching online so that when this is all over and the doors are open of the church, you go, well, I kind of liked it. Yeah, I sleep in, I sit in my bed, put my laptop on, and the devil's going, yeah, keep it going. Creature comforts. That's the wrong creature. Oh, by the way, for your benefit, when this is all over, we're not going to broadcast for at least 8 weeks so that we have a new beginning, a new fresh beginning in the church. We will not broadcast. And I'm going to talk to other pastors and say, we all need to stop so that people go back to church because you're going to get comfortable. Don't let the enemy get you comfortable. This is a lie. This is a ploy. But God can have victory. I'm sorry, that's not in my notes, but I just thought I'd let you know. Verse 16. Then the man, so the demon goes, hey, who are you guys? I don't know who you are. Why are you telling me to get out of this guy? I'm comfortable here. I like it in this guy. This guy's creepy like us. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was, leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Wow. Now, we know that there were the seven sons of Sceva there, but how many more? Because it says there were itinerant Jews roaming around. This demon took on at least seven guys and beat them to a pulp. And how ravaging was this that he ripped their clothes off? I mean, was he clawed? Was he grabbing there trying to run? And he's like, no, you don't, and pulling them back in the house. And they were all naked, and they were wounded, so they're bloodied up. It was like some kind of Bruce Lee demon. Horrible. That had to be horrifying. And I think they realized that they had erred. And ran down the street in their skinny jeans and mullets. And they realized this was not a good... We have horribly erred. Brothers and sisters, when you and I, when we go the way that we think is right, we will find ourselves naked, perhaps bruised, maybe emotionally, spiritually, financially. It doesn't... Some way... And we will realize that we have erred. And that's never good. I really, really highly recommend that right now you contemplate and you pray about what direction you were going before all this started going down. Maybe this is a wake-up call from the Lord. Listen, whatever it is, God is allowing what is transpiring right now. God's not going up there, whoa, I didn't know about Corona. Nobody told me COVID-19. This is crazy. No, God's like, yeah, this is, I told you. Jesus said there would be pestilence. There would be rumors of war and earthquakes. All of that stuff. We got it going on. He's like, but this isn't the end. These are birth pains saying that the end is coming. In other words, what do birth pains tell a woman? I better prepare for the baby. We got to paint the bedroom. We got to get a crib. We need a car seat. It's preparing. Are you preparing for the return of Christ? See, that's the key. That's why God allows this stuff, not to make our lives miserable so we can go and complain to everyone on Facebook on how terrible this is and how unfair it is. No, God's saying, look, use this opportunity to get your stuff in order, to bring as many with you, because we are on a dying planet preparing for evacuation. So important. So these seven sons of Sceva got the pulp beat out of them. They're running down the street naked and wounded. I'm sure that was fun. You want to get people's attention? Run outside naked. Everyone will notice you. So here we got a bunch of guys, at least seven naked dudes, bloody, running. Hey, aren't those the mind reader sons? I guess he didn't tell them about their future. But they said, we exorcise you by the name Jesus, whom Paul preached. Once again, look at here. They use the name of Jesus. I need to convey this because words, hear me, Words don't have power. How dare you, Pastor Randy? The Creator who created words, He has power. The Spirit of the Word. You know, the Bible, if you have a Bible in your hand, that Bible doesn't have power. It's the words, the truth in it. It's the Spirit behind it. It's who it points to that has the power. Yeah, I remember one time at a church, a gal in the front row had a Bible, and, you know, she was struggling with her kid, and she took her Bible and she set it on the floor. And there were a couple of people who went ballistic that she put the Bible on the floor. And I was like, why are you going ballistic? Because her Bible, well, that's the holy word of God. No, it's a book. There are people who read the Bible as literature, and that's all it is to them. The Bible itself, you can read. Before I was saved, I read through portions of the Bible, trying to look for ammunition to try and get you not to believe in Jesus. But I did read portions of it, and it was just a book to me. There was no life to it. There was nothing to it. I didn't even get it. But once the Spirit came into me, that same book that I didn't get came alive. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that shows us Jesus, His Son, in the Scriptures. But words, look, they use the right words. They use the name of Jesus. They had no spirit while dealing with this demon. So I want to talk about words. As a side note, I just felt like the Lord was pressing this upon my heart, because in the last couple of weeks, I've seen Christians using terms that are not scripturally accurate. People use the wrong words, and then they attribute it to God, or they attribute it to Scripture, and it's not good. It's not good. Let me give you a few before I hit on a couple of the big ones. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Oh, really? What if a serial killer is meticulously clean and keeps his acts clean? Is that next to godliness? But he's clean. No. How about, to thine own self be true? Well, what if I'm an arson? Or what if I'm a pimp and I love my job? I'm being true to myself. No. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. How about this? God helps those who help themselves. No, listen, if you can help yourself, then you don't need God, do you? And the enemy hates this message. That's why this plane keeps traveling. He doesn't want me to. I'm glad you're listening. God helps those who help themselves. That is nowhere in Scripture. That idea that God helps those who help themselves is actually at war with what the Scriptures tell us. The Scriptures say that not by my strength, but by His. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not by my own strength. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory, which are found where? In you? No. There's nothing but evil found in me, in Christ Jesus. We are helpless. I'm sorry. You and I are helpless. That's why we need a Savior. If we could help ourselves, we wouldn't need a Savior. Now, would we? And so that is so, that's a war on the word. So is cleanliness is next to godliness. So is to thine own self be true. Or how about this one? And this goes really well with what we're looking at here with the sons of Sceva. I bind you, Satan. Really? So, wait. Let me get this straight. You bound him? Well, my gosh, that's super cool. I'll let everyone know we don't have to deal with Satan anymore. Why? Billy Bob bind him. He's bound. Sally bound him. Oh, well, that's not what I mean. Well, you just said, I bind you, Satan. Did you bind him or not bind him? Well, he's not bound. Then you, what, you're impotent? God's impotent? God can't? You're telling me. Well, where do you get such a strange idea? Well, I get it from Scripture. Oh, you do? Where? Well, in Matthew 18:18. Really? What does it say? It says, assuredly I say to you, you can turn there. Assuredly I say to you, in fact, you need to turn to Matthew 18 because I'm going to show you in context how there's a war on the word as there was a war in the world where this is not, here's what it says. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. There, see, we can bind here on earth. Okay, first of all, that's not good context, and I'll show you here in a moment. But think about this. So if we bind Satan here on earth, he's bound in heaven. So when we go to heaven, you open a closet. Oh, sorry, Satan, I didn't know you were bound in there. He's not going to be in heaven. But if you loose him on earth, who's going to loose him on earth so that he'll be running loose in heaven? See, that doesn't make any sense. But let me give it to you in context. Stay there, Matthew 18, but go back three verses to Matthew 15. Because Matthew 15 is dealing with the brother in sin. This whole thing from 15 to 35 is dealing with the brother in sin, dealing with the church discipline, and dealing with, here you go, hear me on this, it's dealing with forgiveness, not demons. Loosening means I've forgiven and the forgiveness has been received, therefore they are no longer bound to that sin. If you bind them, that means forgiveness is not received and they are bound to the sin. So it says, you know, if your brother sins against you, go to him and listen to him. But then look at verse 17. If he refuses to hear you, that means he doesn't want to receive forgiveness. He doesn't want to recognize his need for forgiveness. Tell it to the church. And if he refuses to even hear the church, let him be like a heathen and a tax collector. Excuse me, if you work for the IRS, that's not what it means. Come and talk to me, I'll explain to you. But anyways, it's not a bash on the IRS. But here's what it's saying. Listen, if someone sins and they're willing to say, please forgive me, and you say, I forgive you, you've just loosened that sin. But if they refuse to hear you and you take it to the church, then they are bound to that sin and you put them out of the church. And by the way, it takes the whole church to make that decision. You don't want me making that decision all by myself. Proof? There's another verse in this section that is misunderstood. And I'll tell you, I've used it incorrectly myself. Look at verse 20 of Matthew 18. Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. And we'll say, hey, there's two or three gathered, Jesus is there. That's not even the proper use of that. What it's talking about is if two or three are in agreement, God says, then I'm in agreement too. Therefore, if you're putting them out, then they're out of heaven as well because they're not walking with God. The whole church has made that decision that they need to be put out. Now, when we put someone out of the church, it's so that eventually they'll realize and they'll come back humbled and repentant. That is the purpose of this. So for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Listen, when you're alone praying, do you think God's not there? Well, sorry, Randy, you're only you. You need two or three more. No. So even that verse is really talking about church discipline. In order for something to be decided by the church, the whole church needs to be involved so that we can make sure that it's biblically right, biblically sound. But it starts off with you going to them, then two or three. So two or three are gathered. God is in agreement. Then you take to the church. Then you put them out. Now they are bound to the sin because they don't want forgiveness. That is not about casting out a demon. Listen, even the archangel Michael didn't bind Satan. He wouldn't even rebuke Satan. Turn with me to Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter, by the way. So if you make it to chapter 2, we need to talk. Okay, so Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring an accusation, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So, Michael, the archangel, he's equal to Satan. And he says, I won't rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. He didn't say, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Because there's no binding of Satan until God throws him into the eternal lake of fire. And then he can run freely in there all he wants. He'll get nowhere. Yes, there are demons already chained up in the abuso, in the abyss. But that's not, we don't bind them. God binded them. And they're going to be released too when God wants them to be released for a short time. So listen, folks, when you hear people, I bind you. I rebuke you, Satan. We're not. And so, well, Pastor Randy, excuse me, but Jesus gave the disciples the power to cast out demons, Mark 16, Luke 10. Yeah, he did, to cast them out, not to bind them and not to rebuke them. Oh, listen, there's a war on the word of God and there's a war in the world. We need to be scripturally right. We can cast out a demon, but you know how we cast out a demon? By getting Jesus cast in. What, listen, can you imagine if I went up to someone and I cast Satan out, but they never received Christ? They have nothing to keep the demons from coming back. In fact, we are told that if someone gets the demon cast out, that seven other spirits more wicked than the first will come and enter that man, and he will be in a much worse state than he was before you came and cast the demon out. So how do we cast out the demon? By getting Jesus in. So that way they stay out. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions. So important. Now, the seven sons of Sceva, I'm not sure what's more frightening, the powerful demon or the weakness of their ignorance. And you know why I say that? Because in the church, there are so many, and it hurts my heart, that use the scripture inaccurately, and they don't care. They'll say, well, Pastor Randy, I know you're saying this, but I'm going to stick because that's what my family's always done. Well, oh my gosh, you'd rather just stay in ignorance than to be biblical? You'd rather just be like the sons of Sceva, proclaiming the name of God without being right with God? Wow. Brothers and sisters, let me just tell you, my heart is like Paul's heart. You know how many times Paul said, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Romans, Paul over and over, that he didn't want believers to be ignorant. Neither do I. And you know, Paul didn't want believers to be ignorant because Jesus doesn't want them to be ignorant. Why? Because to know Jesus is what sets us free. It's what gets us in line. Listen, if you thought that an education was costly, calculate how costly ignorance is. too many well-meaning Christians are ignorant of the scripture. And the Bible says that the scriptures speak expressly of Jesus. The Bible says that he is the Word made flesh. So if we're ignorant of the scripture, we are misrepresenting Jesus. And how deep is our knowledge of him if we don't get it right? Listen, I'm not trying to pick on people. I'm trying to encourage people to read your Bible, know it, and rightly divide it. That we're called to do that. And it breaks my heart. I want to tell people, but I know this, a lot of people won't listen to me. Too many Christians dwell in the realm of lofty platitudes. You know, it's what my pastor says, it's what my grandma said, it was so-and-so says, you know, and they do it yelling and they're excited. What are you excited about? You're so off of the scripture, you're so inaccurate. This is a misrepresentation of the one who saved you. Stop. Read your Bible. Be right with God. Don't be like the sons of Sceva, just claiming the name of Jesus and casting out and binding and to thine own self be true. And, you know, God helps those who help themselves and all this nonsense. It just shows how little we know of our Savior and our Lord. I know I'm ruffling feathers, But you're supposed to use the feathers for flying, not for ruffling. Just telling you. But there's a war of worlds. The demonic realm would love nothing more for us to not properly know him by not properly understanding what is written about him and for our learning, for our instruction. So let's look at the unified message, verse 17 through 20. This became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Oh, I love that. These seven fools, the sons of Sceva, helped to bring repentance and glory to God. How cool is that? It's encouraging to me. Why? Well, when I blow it, God will still be glorified. Yay! It's awesome. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the gospel. Well, that's good news. Why? Because if the gates of hell can't stop the gospel from getting out, then Randy can't blow it bad enough to stop the gospel. And I do blow it. Sometimes, well, not as bad as Sceva, maybe worse sometimes. But God is still be glorified. And here, Satan's ploy is no match for God's power. No match for the Savior's power. None at all. But there is a war of the worlds for your world to be lined up with his world instead of his world. And many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Here's the thing. When you get saved, you know what happens? You're honest about your sin. You don't try to hide them. You just come out. I know I did. I was just like, you know what, man? I'm this, I'm that. I got that thing and this thing and all this mess. And what is God? He can save me. Yes, it's awesome. That's what they did. Notice this. They came confessing and telling their deeds, not to a priest, but to the Lord. So important that we get that. Because when you go, listen, I'm not trying to pick, but you go in a little dark room and it's just you and the priest, it's still covered, isn't it? Huh. 1 John 1, verse 9 and 10. And you know this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's loosening us. That's the loosening and binding. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If you say you don't have any sin, you're saying, God, wait, you say everyone sins? Not me. Liar. He's not the liar, you are. And his word is not in you. But here's the cool part. You're a sinner like me. We can confess it to him. It's the purpose of his son. His son fought the ultimate battle in the war of the worlds and he won. We have victory. We don't fight to victory. We fight from victory. It's already been won. Now, sometimes the battle in this life doesn't feel like we won, but we have. Look at 19. And also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in sight of all. I get this. You know, when I first got saved, I had an immense record collection. I have a VHS collection, but we're not going to talk about that. And I broke every record. I took them out of boxes and boxes and boxes, and I broke them, and I broke them. And it wasn't like some of the records may not have been all that bad, but it was just the fact that I needed a fresh start. All the VHS tapes were bad. They were bad. I heard about one guy, believe it or not, he had like all these bad magazines and stuff. He's like, oh, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm going to get rid of these. I'm going to sell them. You don't sell your sin to someone else. So anyways, listen, I get it. So they brought their books together and they burned them in the sight of all. Look at this. And they counted up the value of them, and its total was 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. by today's market, this would be about $3 to $4 million. $3 to $4 million that they are sacrificing because they recognize that they've been following false gods. Maybe many of these believed in the Skeva boys. They're like, hey, Skeva was at my house. He told me my fortune and he sold me these books. They take them and they burn them. They don't want anything to do with their past life. Can I share? Do you realize that we're not really giving to God until we enjoy it? If you don't enjoy giving to God, please don't. But if you can do it because you realize that he loves you. When I broke those records, I was excited about, man, look at this. I'm doing this because I love you, Lord, and I don't want this junk in my life. I don't want this in my life. I don't want this in my life. Sacrifice isn't giving what is extra. It's giving what is of value to you. See, this was of value to them. They put a lot of money where their spiritual life was, and now they realize that it was a farce, and they burn it because they want the real God. And here's the cool part. To receive real Christ, it doesn't cost you a dime. And it's far more valuable than $4 million, $10 million, $40 million, $1 trillion. There's nothing on this world, in this earth, that I would give for my salvation with Christ. It's just not worth it. Not when you really know Christ. So the word of the Lord grew mightily. I love that. Mightily and prevailed. So, as we wrap up, please don't click off or check YouTube, or it'll be there when we're done. Just hang on. There's a war in this world, spiritual. Where are you? What side are you on? What are you warring with? Are you warring against God's will for your life? Are you warring against trusting in him? Well, I'll tell you, you need to surrender. You need to raise that white flag and say, God, I surrender you. Take me captive. Have your way with my life. You won't regret it. Or are you just copying religious activity? Are you saying the right things? Well, I heard him say that, so I'm going to say it. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Look, I'm a Christian. God helps those who help themselves. To thine own self be true. That isn't even scripture. That's Shakespeare. But, I mean, is that what you run around doing? Are you just copying? Well, they carry their Bible. I'll carry my Bible. They go to church. I'll go to church. Are you in love? Do you know him better? Does he know you? Does the Lord Jesus know you? And how will he know you? Because you do the will of his Father. Are you the one who practices lawlessness? What does that mean? You do whatever you want and ignore what he's asking you to do. The hardest, you know what the hardest thing to give is? The hardest thing to give is in. This morning, how about you and I giving in to what God wants for our lives? And be ready when this whole thing lifts to get back to serving in church. But in the meantime, we are the church. You get the word out. You share the love of Christ. You be excited and miss the congregating of the fellowship, the worship, and all. Be missing that. Enjoy whatever you got right now, but be missing what we were called to do. Have fellowship and go out and change the world, because they are under attack too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your word gives us instruction for this life and the direction we need to go. And right now, this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters at home that they would examine their hearts, that they would see if they've been obeying you, if they've been following you, or if they've just been going through the motions, that they would see if they're checking the scriptures to make sure that what they are saying is biblically accurate, or they're just repeating and parroting what they've heard their whole life. Because it sounds right, they run with it. God, your word was given to us with a purpose. Your Son was given to us for salvation. The Holy Spirit was given to us to teach us and to train us and to use us and equip us and empower us and strengthen us. And now all we have to do is yield our will to your will. And so this morning we thank you that we have a way to continue to have the word out. And I thank you for the many who are watching online. And I pray that each person is examining their heart, making adjustments, confessing their sins, getting right with you, and we'd stop going through the motions. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.